Another edition of the Bear Pants Podcast is upon us, NFL version. I'm your host, Mayor Chris Felica, joined by Jeff Schwartz here in the studio, Sammy P. Will Hill will join us in the gambling group chat momentarily. On a week-in, week-out basis, nothing provides the predictable, unpredictability of the NFL because, of course, we all knew the Vikings would and the 49ers, a second consecutive regular season loss. And of course, Bill Belichick, who should be fired as Patriots head coach, and Mac Brown should be benched. Of course, they'll beat the Bills when Mac Jones leads the Patriots
McCorkle.
The field.
Just the NFL is a week-to-week league. Nothing that happens the previous week to prepare you for the next week. You have to take each week on its own. Yeah, you can talk about if the team is playing good or bad. I mean, for example, Buffalo's defense is a lot worse without Matt Milano. You certainly take that into consideration for the week. But like a result from last week has nothing to do with the result the following week.
Right.
And you just have to take the matchups as they are, the gambling numbers as they are. And again, the gross sides are starting to come back now, right? The gross sides are starting to win again. The teams that are hyping up tend to lose the next week because that's the way the NFL works. You start reading your press release, but more than anything else, like, I know that's the simplest thing to say, but everyone's a professional, right? Everyone is trying to win each week. They all have extreme talent. They're all gifted. And some weeks like the Patriots just come on and just, you win that game. The Lions, who we praised last week, end up falling flat on their face. The Niners, all of a sudden, who looked like 2 weeks ago, they were the best team in all the NFL. Now can't buy a win. Now they play a tough Bengals team this weekend. And of course, the cream of the Chiefs and the Eagles just kind of rises to the top, right? Some ugly football times, but they're sitting atop, atop their conferences. And I think the favorites to meet again right now in a rematch. So each week, Bear, you take it for what it is. Don't look back. You don't look forward. There's no look ahead weeks in the NFL. Every week is the same. And I believe there's no bye weeks this week. So everyone's playing.
Good.
It's a good week of NFL action. And are you ready to start with your bets here?
More likely, if you had to take one of the two, more likely to get back to the Super Bowl, Kansas City or Philadelphia?
Oh, the Chiefs. The Chiefs, this is the best team they've had under Patrick Mahomes because they're good on special teams, they're good on defense, and they're good on offense. Like they're the trio of those and their offense still is trying to figure things out. Last week was very good. Obviously the Chargers can't cover Travis Kelce in any single game, but Mecole Hardman had a catch, a big third down catch. MVS made an appearance who hasn't shown up yet.
Yes, he did.
Rashee Rice continues to grow in this offense each week. The offense line we know is good. They no more penalties for Taylor misaligning. Yep. So like they figure that out. Pacheco runs hard. The play calling looks to be sort of back in rhythm again. And again,
I'm rooting for him
defensively. When you have five rookies play last season, those five rookies are better this season. Trent McDuffie looks like a stud, as we kind of expected. And so to me, it's the Chiefs, right?
You think Bolton's going to be able to go this week with the wrist or
probably
no?
Probably not. Well, so he dislocated his wrist. The thing about that injury, I think, is he could just cast his hand up. Like he just put in a cast.
It's hard, though.
Well, he's a linebacker. He's not in charge of you just, you wrap up and you, it's, I will give the Chiefs this, though. This is why Brett Veach is great as a general manager. They had Drew Tranquil this offseason. They have Leo. Like they have players not as good as Bolton. Right. They don't run.
Capable, though.
But capable players. Like good enough to get by when you're missing linebackers. He might miss this week. Watson might come back on just his elbow. But like the Chiefs are just playing good football. They're at Denver now. Who knows if they're going to cover that game or not. But like to me, it's the Chiefs, right? The Eagles, there's some warts there, but play well against the Dolphins. The Niners, they're not the same if everyone's not healthy,
right?
Obviously. Defensively, they're not the same without D'Amico Ryans calling the plays. They're good, but not, I don't think, quite as good as they were last season. And the Cowboys in that side are completely untrustworthy. So there's just no one in the NFC I think I really trust. The Lions aren't going to do it, in my opinion. That had nothing to do with last weekend. I just don't think the Lions are good enough to win the NFC. But let's start with your bets. We'll talk about Bears bets now. We'll get our best bets later. We'll do Survivor later as well. Speaking about the Eagles are at the Commanders. The Commanders are getting 6.5 points. The total is 43.5. The Eagles are 6-1. Best record in the NFC right now. They're 4-2-1 against the spread. They failed to cover against Commanders earlier this season in an overtime win. Commanders are 3-4 straight up and against the spread. Washington just lost to the Giants 14-7 on Sunday. Where are you going here, Bear?
You know where I'm going here.
Commanders. Yes.
Of course.
Of course. It's a great wager.
Hurts isn't on the injury report, but it like we talked about it right at the top of the show. 1 week to the next in this league. You have a huge emotional win. You blow out the Dolphins at home on Sunday night. Commanders couldn't have looked any worse than losing 14-7 to the Giants. Remember, it's the Philly team that nearly lost at home to Washington a couple of weeks. I mean, probably should have lost at home if Rivera decides to go for two at the end of regulation and not go to overtime because his team allegedly was tired. So I think the Eagles are going to be a huge public side. I think the
why would you say that? This like, team was tired. Like that's
so you know what? If you're tired, then you know what? Make it one play.
Yeah, one play.
One play. We suck it up for one play. Get in there. If not, okay, well, we're going to go to overtime and lose anyway because we're tired. But we're ridiculous. I think the Commanders are the right side here.
The Commanders too tend to play the Eagles very close. Remember last season they were the team that ended their undefeated season, and they just the way they play defensively with their defensive line. The one concern I have for Washington is this: they're giving up too many sacks. Right, it's not just all their fault. Sam Howell runs into a lot of them too against the Eagles' defensive line. It's a problem. But this is one of those division matchups where the Commanders sort of have the number of the Eagles. It doesn't end up winning, but all we need is a cover. It's all we need is a cover. All we need is a cover. So Commanders
by six. Or buy it up to seven.
Yeah, there we go. Perfect. Do you think it's going to get to seven?
I don't think it'll get to seven.
Yeah, the Sharps will be over that, right? If it gets to six.
Seven, it'll be gone in a second.
Let's get to an NFC North matchup here. Minnesota at Green Bay. Green Bay getting a point here. Total is 42. Minnesota's 3-4 after the thrilling win against the Niners on Monday Night Football. They're 3-3-1 against the spread. The Packers are 2-4. They dropped a close game on the road at Denver, but are 3-3 against the spread. Bear, I'm proud of myself here. I didn't watch a single snap of Packers.
I did not either.
And Broncos.
I did not either.
I feel proud of myself for that.
Yeah, we were watching
Chiefs.
We were watching Chiefs.
Oh, and Steelers in the household. Yeah,
is what we had.
So where are we going here? Packers, of course.
Right.
We have to make this wager.
They were as terrible offensively as you could be in Denver last week. Jordan Love potentially looks lost. Is Kirk Cousins going to throw for almost 400 yards again, like he did again Monday night against? Yeah, that's what I thought. I mean, when everybody zigs. Use that Viking. People are talking about the Vikings maybe sneaking into the NFC wildcard race. Maybe they won't trade players now. Still on that win on Monday night. No one, you couldn't be lower on the Packers. Remember that with Green Bay, though, four games this year by 4 points or fewer, three have been decided by 1 or 2 points. So while the record's bad, they are in a coin flip game almost every week, and maybe the coin comes up heads for them this week. Give me the Packers plus one. There are some plus ones out there.
This is just a classic NFL game where, again, throughout last week, but like one team looks so bad, the Packers. Mm-hmm. One team looks so good, the Vikings. Mm-hmm. And everyone is on the, I'm looking at it right now. And I know that the splits for tickets and bets is not always the best way to wager in a game. But a lot of people have tickets on the Vikings with a little bit of money. And a little bit of tickets on the Packers and a lot of bit of money. Like you just take the Packers here. You hold your nose. You do it because that's the right wager to make in this situation. There's no like football reason per se. Like,
no.
I'm not like, oh, the Packers have this. Do they do this? Well? Right. It's just the Vikings fading the Vikings off a Monday Night Football win on the road in Green Bay. Green Bay's desperate for a win. The back against the wall thing in the NFL, especially last weekend, it really matters. Again, these are professionals, man. Like we know where we are. Like we know where we need to win. And the Packers have to win this game. Well, that's it. 2-5. That's done. They're done. Let's get to one more game here before we get to the gambling group chat and our best bets and our survivor. Remember, we got survivor here. I'm still alive. I don't know if you are, Bear.
I'm a survivor.
Vegas Raiders at the Lions. Lions favored by 8.5. Saw that this morning. 46.5 is the total.
Nine, my friend.
It's 9 now?
To 9.
Up to 9. Okay, Lions favored by 9 right now. Total 46.5. Raiders are 3-4. I don't think I would have guessed they had 3 wins. I wouldn't have guessed. If you told me,
worst 3-win team in football.
They got blown out by the Bears. The 3-4 against the spread. The Lions got embarrassed on Sunday. In Baltimore, they're 5-2 straight up and 5-2 against the spread. Where are we going here?
And this line is, I think, climbing 8.5 to 9. And probably you probably wait a little bit, and you'll get 9.5. I would think.
No tens.
I don't think it'll hit 10, but I think. I'm going to take the Raiders plus the points here. I think last week we kind of saw what was coming with Detroit. I think you're looking at a side on a home game, Monday night, big favorite coming off of a loss. I think most people will be on the Lions there, but I'd be a little hesitant. You're the toast of the league last week, and you get absolutely punched in the mouth and totally humbled by the score. The game wasn't even as close as the score was in the Ravens game. Well,
the Ravens were 35-0 and shut it down.
It was, and I wonder, like, for a young team that psyche had some injuries, like, well, we really aren't that good. Now we'll see, it's going to be a difficult coaching job this week for Dan Campbell to get his team back together and kind of instill some confidence, because I think maybe internally they are asking some questions now, and nine, maybe nine.
That's a lot of points in the NFL.
A lot of points. And again, I know the Raiders are awful. I know they are. Don't get me wrong. So I'm going to hold my nose on Monday night. Watch Joe and Troy. And
you're going to be on the side of the Sharp. I mean, no one's going to bet the Raiders.
Correct.
So you're going to have that going for you Monday. Yes. We're going to see all those tweets on Monday that 95% of tickets are on the Lions, but buddy, good luck.
Raiders winning. The Raiders winning the Raiders outright there, will be a good result for the sports book.
Oh, yeah.
No shit.
I love those tweets so much.
Gee, thanks.
I wish you luck, man. I can't convince myself the Raiders. It's the right side. I mean, the mindset makes right, right? If the Raiders just off a bad loss again, like they have to try, and we don't know who's playing quarterback for them. Maybe Jimmy G's back. I don't know. And then the Lions, obviously, you know, mentally, they have not been in this spot in a long time where they're good as a team. They're good. We know that.
Oh, yes, they are.
And they're supposed to be good and lost a bad football game. And how do they react to losing that bad football game? We don't know. So it's a good wager to make on sort of fading that idea of, like, we don't really know about the Lions. So far, Bear has Commanders +6.5, Green Bay +1, and the Raiders.
+9.
All right. Time for the gambling group chat. We cover all things NFL, MVP odds, number one seed, which games were taken, which props were taken. It's going to be the Bear, Will Hill, Sammy P, and myself. Take a listen, everybody.
Gambling group chat time again with myself, Jeff, Will Hill, Sammy P. It's amazing how in the NFL, everything is so fickle. It goes from one extreme to the other. Oh, Mr. Irrelevant, Brock Purdy, what a great story. Brock Purdy stinks. He threw a couple of interceptions, and now he's out. We believe he's out against the Bengals on Sunday afternoon, and we saw the line go from 6 down to 3, 3.5. And the opinions on this are really interesting because, like, people thinking that there hasn't been a big enough line move, that Purdy's worth more to the line. There are people that don't think he really is worth much to the line, that he's been overrated and this regression was coming. Like, we talked about, well, maybe we haven't talked about it before, but I do have a very strong opinion on this game coming up for my best bet. But Jeff, where do you stand on this game with Cincinnati and San Francisco? Whether it's from the Niners offensive, like, we don't know if Trent Williams is going to play either, and then, or is it maybe a time to hop in on Cincinnati, like, for futures or stuff?
Well, we'll find out basically about the system, right? The quarterback system, and whether or not the Shanahan system is booing Brock Purdy, or whether Sam Darnold can come in and run it just fine. And I think that if Debo's back, which I'm not quite sure he will be this weekend, and the offense is whole with Trent Williams back, and they didn't miss Trent that much against the Vikings. I think it's the Bengals, their pass rush is a little bit better. Like, they might miss him a little bit here. But the contrarian play, which has worked the last couple of weekends, right, has been sort of wagering on the team who has the backup quarterback playing, right? Like, we saw that with the Browns a couple weekends ago, like Gardner Minshew last weekend with the Colts. It feels like the Niners here, still at home, need to play better defensively against a Bengals team that's been up and down, but a little more trending upwards. I think Niners at -3 are the play here, guys. I'm curious what you think, Sammy.
You're going to lay 3 with Darnold, huh? You're going to do it?
Yeah. I'm fine with that.
Okay.
I think the system is the reason why things go so well there. I mean, he's had good offenses with bad quarterbacks before.
I've got Purdy worth 2.5 points to the line in that system. So, I mean, I was never going to say anything higher than 3. And that, you look at the market from 6 to 3.5. So it's pretty much right on.
That's what it is.
Bear brought up the futures. How about this? I was looking at a lot of these books. So the Bengals have the longest odds to win the division, the AFC North, and it makes sense. But then you look at the odds to win the AFC, and the Bengals have the second best odds from the North, because the narrative is if they get in, Burrow's going to give them a shot. And I think that team just looks a lot different the last few weeks because Burrow's actually healthy. I don't love the Bengals catching 3.5 when I could have gotten 6. It's a stay away game for me, but my advice would be if you're looking at Cincinnati futures from this point forward, because if they win this game, they're probably going to make the postseason. Like, this is a swivel game for them. I don't want to get too far ahead of myself, but if they beat the Niners on the road, they're probably going to, their odds are going to explode in the future market. But I would rather you bet them to win the AFC at 15-20 to 1 than to win the North at 5 to 1, because Baltimore is winning the North. If you're looking for Bengals stuff, look further down the road.
I've been anti-Cincy all year, before the season, during the season. I'm on him here. I think this is a good time for a buy for Burrow. Get that calf healthier. He can move around a little bit. We know that the rest of the talent is there. And I'm just not a Darnold guy. I watched him a lot with the Jets, just not a fan. I have been a fan of Purdy. I think he's underrated. I think this narrative that, you know, he just throws screen passes and anyone can do it is unfair. And if you look even the other night, like, all right, he threw 2 picks at the end, but he played pretty well until then. And if you see now, and it was weird how it came about, like Wednesday at 5 o'clock, 4 o'clock Eastern, we find out he had a concussion. And if you look at, first of all, the hit was a nasty hit on a QB sneak. He really got leveled. And his split before that hit and after that hit, there's a huge difference. So to me, I'm a Purdy guy. I'm not a Darnold guy. I think this is a good spot for Cincy. San Fran's still a little banged up with Debo probably not playing. I'm going to take Cincy here plus the points. I think it's a close game. I could easily see this being a field goal game too. San Fran gets on track with a win. They do it by 3 and move on. So I like the 3.5. That's a key number right there.
Will, have you gotten off of any of the preseason Bengals missed the playoffs and season win total under? Have you gotten off any of those yet?
Yes, I did play under 11.5 before the season, under 9.5 after the first couple of weeks, and bought back on some yes plus playoffs, some over 8.5. So if it's 9.5, if they land 9-8 and they make the playoffs, or even you know just 9-8, either way, that's a good result for me. But I think they'll make a run here. This is Ben Cincy's MO, where they start slow and then they pick up steam as the season goes on, and that's one of the better defensive coordinators too. So if you're giving him extra time to prep for San Francisco, that's something to keep in mind for this game as well.
9-8, we're meeting at Jay Tim's. Honey Gold wins on you.
Plenty of them, sure.
What else? It's interesting because a couple of weeks ago we were talking about like Super Bowl odds and like how many teams in theory could win the Super Bowl. Like, doesn't it seem like it's really kind of narrow? Like, is anybody really taking the Dolphins seriously to win the Super Bowl now?
No.
Anybody really taking the Cowboys seriously to win the Super Bowl now? Doesn't it feel like Chiefs, Niners, Eagles, Ravens? Maybe Ravens?
I mean, the Ravens, I think, have to show it in the postseason before we believe it, right? I mean, the Chiefs right now are 6-1. Their offense is sort of getting rolling. They have a 3-game division lead. They're number one in the AFC right now. And according to DVOA, they're top 5 in offense, defense, special. This is the best team they've had since Patrick Mahomes has gone there. And their offense is still sort of not clicking in a way that it should. I mean, it's Baltimore going to Kansas City in the postseason and beating them in Kansas. I mean, the one team that I think can do it is the Bengals, because they've shown they can do it. But I haven't seen anyone else step up to the plate yet and be able to defeat Kansas City in Arrowhead, besides Tom Brady did it in 2018 and the Bengals did it a few years ago. So Baltimore is on the right track. I think they have a sort of a trappish game in Arizona this weekend, but I got to see them do it in the postseason before I declare they're the ones that can beat the Chiefs in Arrowhead.
Yeah, it is a stinky spot for the Ravens, but Arizona, I think, is coming back down to earth. They have not looked great the last few weeks. You're right, though. The first half last week, I think, was the first time. Like, that was beautiful to watch. The offense execution of both the Chargers and the Chiefs in that first half was before they went completely scoreless almost the entire second half. What about the Bills? Like what we saw from them, like the Sunday night game against the Giants was an abomination that they probably should have lost. Didn't look good last week, giving up a late touchdown to the Patriots and Mac Jones to drive the length of the field after it appeared that they were going to get out with another gross win. Like, if you look at odds to me, we talk about the Bengals, how maybe we've turned on them and now maybe they are going to make the playoffs. But if they make the playoffs, someone's not going to make the playoffs. Like, Are the Bills worth a play here at a number like close to 2-1 to miss the playoffs? Like, we know Milano's out, we know Trey White is out, we know they've got some issues on the offensive side of the ball. Will, would you take a shot at the Bills to miss the playoffs at like close to plus 200? Plus 172 is the number that you've got on Buffalo. Like that's a cup two. Well, the Jets, I think, obviously are clear going to miss the playoffs, but two of those other teams are going to miss.
You know, it's interesting because by the time people listen to this, it's going to be Friday or the weekend, and Buffalo's obviously playing on Thursday night, so that's going to be a different number regardless. If they ever lost to Tampa, you're looking at, you know, probably a toss-up to miss the playoffs, and if they don't, it's it's a better number in terms of, you know, maybe you're getting 2-1. So when you bet these, sometimes as important as what you bet. I mean, Sammy talked about Mahomes a few weeks ago, 7-8, 9-1 or whatever to win MVP. Now he's plus 275. Like, at plus 275, it's not a good bet when a few weeks ago it was. But directionally, I agree with you. I mean, this team is just missing so many guys on defense. Milano is one of the most important, you know, non-injury, non-quarterback injuries you could possibly have. Allen doesn't look healthy. And I go back to the 13 seconds a few years ago against the Chiefs. I don't know as a franchise if they ever recovered from those 13 seconds. They would have been home against the Bengals. They could have won the Super Bowl, you know, against the Rams. Jeff knows as a player, you don't get those opportunities where that's in your lap to win a Super Bowl right in front of you every year. And I just don't know that they've ever recovered from that.
Jeff?
They've actually gone backwards. The year before, they put the Chiefs in the AFC Championship game, right? And then a divisional round playoff loss, and then the divisional round, excuse me, a wild card round, right? Last season, home playoff loss. And now they keep, to me, a lot of parallels. We talk a lot of college football, obviously, it's like USC, right? Like, what does Buffalo and what did USC do well? It's like, I hope our quarterback makes enough crazy plays for us to win a football game. Like, that's what the Bills do well right now is Josh Allen. I hope he wins it for us. And you mentioned, look, the Milano injury is big because the last couple of weeks, their defense has really gone south, and it's a big loss for them. But you're a professional team, man. You have to find a way to overcome a couple injuries. Everyone has to do that. That's the NFL. Everyone gets hurt, find a way to win. And right now, Buffalo, to me, is an unserious contender in the NFC. Now, would I take them to miss the playoffs? Probably not that drastic. But obviously, as we record this on Thursday, if they lose to Tampa Bay, I mean, they're 4-4 with losses to Tampa Bay, the Jets, and the Patriots. Obviously lost to Jacksonville in London. I just think they're right now, they don't know what they are. They don't have an identity, and they have to figure it out fast because the AFC is very good. And if they don't, they're not going to go very far in the playoffs.
Last week, I think we were all kind of, go ahead. Yes. Go ahead, Sebby.
Yeah, the schedule. Here's the schedule down the stretch for Buffalo. You're at Philly Thanksgiving weekend. Then you get the bye at Kansas City. Then you get Dallas at home at the Chargers. Could be 1-3 in that stretch. Then you're home against the Patriots and you end the season January 7th at Miami. That is the toughest end of any schedule in the NFL.
Good point.
I think the Cowboys have another difficult finish, but yeah, that's on the road. I mean, yeah, you get the idle week in between, but at Eagles, at Chiefs, back to back, that's no bueno. They better rack up some wins here. Assuming, hopefully, they will have beaten Tampa by the time you listen to this. But yeah, you better beat Denver and the Jets at home, or else that price gonna plummet dramatically. We were kind of all over it last week with the Lions going to the Ravens. Like it was a complete annihilation, and the Ravens just pummeled the hype train that were the Detroit Lions. This game looks like it's headed towards 9, 9.5. Don't you think, Sammy, on Monday night, the get out game, home favorite laying close to double digits against the probably backup quarterback again for the terrible, terrible Las Vegas Raiders. I don't know if this will hit 10. Do you think it'll hit 10?
I don't know about 10. You'll get resistance at 10. I don't know about 10. I mean, we're already seeing some nines here. But that thing opens 7.5. I don't know how many wise guys are going to want to lay 9, 9.5 when a lot of them are already clearly laid 7.5, 8 because those nines are sort of dead numbers. But I don't know. I like, you know, that totals got hit too, 44.5 up to 46.5 DraftKings. I want to see if Detroit can mentally bounce back here. I think that's a fair concern. I don't love Vegas in this spot, but to lose 38-6 and get absolutely pantsed, I think it's lazy to think they're just going to go home on Monday night and roll Vegas. Vegas sucks. But I don't want to bet that game with your money, Bear. I'm sorry.
Well, I actually did bet it with my money and grabbed nine. So I kind of, as I was talking, telling Jeff earlier, I kind of felt the same way. Like you kind of get punched in the face. You take a step back and you might reevaluate. Like, okay, are we really this good? And I know Dan Campbell's done a good job, kind of building them up and making them believe in themselves and kind of having that bullish mentality. But I don't know. Nine feels like a lot, and I grabbed it.
The NFL is the best sport at humbling you, right? They humble 2 weeks ago, right? Remember, Niners are defeated. Brock Purdy, MVP, yep. Lose to the Browns. Last week, we had a discussion here about the Lions as the one seed. We had a legit discussion. Do we put money? Lions as the one seed. Dan Campbell, coach here. Jared Goff, MVP. They get their asses kicked by the Ravens. And so it's how you bounce back from that humbling, right? The Lions have not been good enough to sort of be humbled like this in many, many years. So now you come back home. Are you honest with yourself about why you lost that game? Are you honest with yourself about how to get better? And so I could see them coming out slow against the Raiders, but I mean, the Raiders are just really, really stinky. Like they are just a bad football team. Max Crosby's good. And that's it. Like they have no one else.
It's like Big Cat's power ratings.
Oh, so
ass, funny. Yes, ass, yes. Super ass. Yes. Like, super ass. Raiders ball on the super ass. For sure.
Sammy's Bears won a game though with whoever that quarterback is. I'm not going to pronounce his name. I have no idea who he is.
Secret agent man. Tyson Bajan.
The most, what'd you say last week? The favorite Bears player of all time is the backup quarterback. There we go.
Yeah,
another win for your boy.
I remember when Jay Cutler was there and he was throwing, like, the Bears have never had a quarterback for over 3,500 yards ever. And, you know, he's getting close to the meatballs, the Bills and the Babs. They want Josh McCown. I'm like, you people are lunatics. You know, you don't want Jay Cutler to start a quarterback. So now this Tyson Bajan is the most popular guy in Chicago.
And going on the road against your favorite team, the Los Angeles Chargers, who completely fell apart in the second half in Kansas. Like, of course, that was like the first game the Chargers have played, like, ever that has been a multiple score game.
It's the first time Justin Herbert and Patrick Mahomes have played each other. There was five previous games. The sixth time that game has not been within 6 points in either direction. And it's the first time, obviously, in regulation hasn't been within 3 points. And it was 24-17 at halftime. Yeah. It did not go over, which was shocking.
And it looked like the Chiefs were in, like, legitimate trouble where they may not win.
Yeah. Yeah, their defense has not allowed over 20 points all season, which is pretty remarkable.
It's
their defense is playing well. But the Chargers, man, I love Justin Herbert. I was one of the few people that thought he'd be good.
Oregon homer.
Yes, I am Oregon homer, but I watch every snap of his. It kind of helps to evaluate him. But is there some blame on him eventually for this? Like, is it all Brandon Staley's fault? Because I don't know what's, like, there's nothing when I watch Herbert play, I think to myself, oh, he's not playing well. But he doesn't win a lot of football games anymore. Like, the team is not, he's under 500 as a starter. Quarterback wins, I get it. But, like, does he get blamed at some point for them not winning the amount of games they're expected to win?
I think he should. Will, I'm going to throw this out to you because I think you might have an opinion on this.
It's complicated. I mean, it's not, you don't want to sit here and just make excuses for them, but even though it's probably, you know, what it's going to sound like, every game for them is a road game. I don't think they're well coached. I don't think that's a great team around them. We all hear about, you know, Austin Eckler. I don't think Austin Eckler's had a 1,000-yard rushing season. So I don't think it's a great, you know, system, surroundings. Just, I don't think he's in a great position. Look, as a Vikings fan, I mean, you could have all my first round picks for the rest of my life. I'll take Justin Herbert, but at some point you do have to win some games. He does leave you feeling a little empty where it's like, all right, they're down seven. I think they had first and goal and he throws, you know, a tip pass interception that he does feeling you like, you know, you should be a little better. You should win a little more with him. So he's had the ball at the end, a lot of these games and he hasn't been able to come through. So I think that's fair to start to criticize him a little bit.
I think that there is some note out there about number of, like, interceptions he's thrown in, like, one score games in the fourth quarter. That's kind of damning for him. I do agree. Well, that was so funny you said that because that's one of my favorite things on an NFL weekend when the opposing team goes into SoFi and just absolutely takes it over like the Steelers did against the Rams. I was watching it with my wife and just Steelers hear a huge roar. My wife's like, oh, no, what happened? I'm like, oh, the Steelers scored. Don't worry. I love when the opposing, like, they have no fans and then the opposing fans just go in there and it's a home game. Hey,
well, it's the NFL. These margins are so close. Like the games are so close. It's just the smallest margin where being at home, you know, matters, or it's supposed to matter. And when every game's a road game, that's a huge difference. I don't know, Jeff, as a player, can you imagine where every game is basically a home game, a road game, where, you know, you're in your home building and everyone's rooting against you? I do think it matters.
On the other side, though, as the visiting team, I've been in a situation where, as the Chiefs, we played in San Diego and the entire stadium was just red with Chiefs fans. There is a little bit of energy you get as a road player when you see that your fans outnumber the home team's fans. So, like, if you're a Steelers fan, you're a Steelers player, and you show up and you run out of that tunnel for the kickoff, and you look up and you see black and gold everywhere, like, you, that fires you up. When you score a touchdown on the road and it's louder for your touchdown than it is for the home team touchdown. I've never been the other situation, fortunately, where it's been the other way around, but I can imagine, if you're a Chargers player, how demoralizing it is to hear the crowd cheer for the other team louder than your team. And then, look, you have to go in silent count all the time on offense, which is a bear to do all the time. It'd be nice every now and then just go in regular cadence. So it's got to be disheartening if you're a Chargers fan. But the Chargers shouldn't move to L.A. There's I'm from Los Angeles, guys. There's some fans that are Rams fans that were there when the Rams used to be in L.A. There's not a single person who's a Chargers fan. Zero people in Los Angeles ever root for the Chargers, ever. You move to L.A., like, what do you expect to happen? You're not going to get a fan base to grow overnight. So it's going to take 20, 30 years for kids that are Charger fans now to become adults, to buy season tickets, and to root for the Chargers. And they're going to have this happen each and every week for 20 more years.
Well, we know they have at least
one. How about this? There's an interesting nugget here on the Chargers. We all know that they are perennial underachievers. We've talked about it for weeks now. Since Justin Herbert became the LA quarterback, or the San Diego quarterback, or the San Juan Capistrano quarterback, whatever, they are 14 and 21 ATS. So they've only covered 14 of 35 games when they are laying points with Herbert.
So I can't interest you in the Chargers -8.5 on Sunday against the Bears. Against the most popular Bear ever, the backup quarterback.
Nope.
What about for Survivor? Would you dare put your Survivor life on the line with the Chargers against the Bears this week? It's like sacrilegious. It's like a hellscape to do that. But if you're ever going to do it, this is the week.
Good luck.
How about the words, I'm going to tease the Chargers?
Tease the Chargers down through three and just lay 2.5. Yeah, exactly. What could possibly go wrong?
A Ravens Chargers teaser this weekend?
No.
Can't interest you in that?
No.
There's so many primetime candidates, too, with Bills, with, you mentioned Ravens, Chargers, Detroit Lions on Monday night. That's probably why they moved that number to 9. They're probably just getting hammered with teasers left and right with all these, primetime games, Chargers, Ravens, Bills, and then connect it with the Lions. They probably wanted to move that out of teaser range.
You know what might be a good – Pittsburgh +8.5 might be a good teaser leg, don't you think, against Jacksonville?
Yep, every game's close with them. I mean, you never want to tease it if you can get a +3, because you're like, hey, if I like him, I'll just take him +3. But that certainly would be a good look, I would think.
What else have we got? But obviously, it looks like the Titans are, I don't want to say tank mode, but they're getting rid of assets. We've seen that number move to Atlanta -3 now.
Oh, man.
Against
the Titans are so good at Vrabel home underdog, but I'm not sure you can even touch this game right now with first-time quarterback.
Yeah, I was going to say, Willie Levi's and Malik Willis. Sammy, can I interest you in Malik Willis and Sammy and Willie Levi's +3 at home against Arthur Smith and Desmond Ridder?
No, can I interest you in over 35.5, though?
Oh, no.
Huh? Can we go over 35.5, Barrett?
That's a Service Academy game right there.
No, you can't.
No, I can't.
No
like chance. That game could be 20-7.
I'm not going to watch a second of that game, though, too. That's like an unwatchable game.
Even though I will say this, with that trio of quarterbacks, you do have a good opportunity at a pick six or not offensive score. Sure. Desmond Ridder fumbling the ball through the end zone again.
He cannot stop fumbling. He cannot. He's a turnover machine, and they keep playing him. I don't understand, because the Falcons, I know they're winning enough games to maybe justify it in the end.
Why aren't you playing Heineke?
But the thing about it is they treat him like a first-round pick.
It was a fourth round pick.
But they treat him like a first-round pick where they keep giving these opportunities. You don't have to do that, right? Now, obviously, they don't even give their first-round pick any opportunities. But, you don't have to treat him that way, right? You can bench him and put in Heineke, who has shown the ability to – he's a high-variance guy, but the high is a lot better than what Ridder's giving you right now. It's not good. Falcons game.
Do you know how hard it is to keep a game under 35 and a half, though, in 80-degree weather with no wind? I get it if it's in Buffalo and it's 30-mile-an-hour winds and it's snow. Okay, I'll bet under. But I'm looking at the forecast now in Nashville. It's 83 degrees with 7-mile-an-hour winds. It's perfect football weather. It's great for offense. I'm not betting under 35 and a half.
But will you bet over?
I bet over, yeah. 35 and a half. Right. They could probably get that half.
I'd love to sit there and watch Sammy watch this game with a camera on Sammy as it's 3-0 at the 2-minute warning, and he's just sitting there pulling his hair out.
We talked about one tenant of SoFi, the other one, the Rams, one of those impossible box score losses against the Steelers last week. Feels like they might be a popular dog this week, getting 6.5 in Dallas, don't you think?
I would imagine so. I mean, they should have at least gone to overtime in that game, right? I mean, or at least had an opportunity, I should say, to go to overtime, because Kenny Pickett was clearly short.
Yes.
And they got screwed out of that one. McCarthy against a really good coach in Sean McVay, against a good quarterback in Matt Stafford. I mean, the advantage is to Sean McVay in a coaching matchup here, right? So you're basically wagering on that part of this game as being a big part. I mean, McCarthy gets out-coached all the time, and they have a coach like Sean McVay, father now. Sean McVay, the father, who has a little extra motivation this week and some father power there. I would take the Rams. I'm not wagering on this game, but I think I would take the Rams over the Cowboys.
Will, Sammy, any thoughts on Dallas and the Rams? I would, I'd play the Rams if I had to, just knowing that between Kupp, Nacua, those receivers and Matthew Stafford, that they can at least put points on the board against Dallas, right? Yeah. Even though the O-line's not great.
I'm mad at the Rams after last week. That was a typical Steeler game where the Rams give away 7 points with the kicker. They miss two field goals. They miss an extra point. They had a couple of drops where it's like, all right, the Rams should be up, 13, maybe 14, 17 points. They're just pulling away. Pitt had done nothing. Then Pitt gets a tip pass, but I think Watt basically runs it back and they get a cheap touchdown. Yep. Then before you know it, Pittsburgh steals the game. Just typical Steelers football. So I was not impressed with the Rams last week. I thought that was a terrible, terrible loss, terrible performance. But I'm not looking to lay 6.5 with Dallas. Dallas is off a bye, so you figure you get their best effort, their focus, their best punch. But nothing I'm willing to bet here.
Pittsburgh, we mentioned a potential teaser leg here. 2.5-point home dog against Jacksonville, who seems to be playing better as we go along. Anything?
I think Sammy wrote this week. He likes Jacksonville, right, before it gets to 3, Sammy?
Yeah, I would take it now. I think this Pittsburgh team it's good, but it's not great. And it's certainly a number grab for me. I wanted to lay it before it got to 3. I think I laid some 2. All these write-ups run together. You get an email on Monday like, hey, write this up. And you're like,
yeah.
Yeah, and you do it. Hold on, can I throw a baby Ruth in the pool, Bear? Do you mind?
Of course you can.
Bartender loves Houston.
Go ahead.
He's all over Houston. He's
That's not a baby Ruth. That's not a baby Ruth you're throwing in the pool. That's a gold bullion that you're putting in there. Of course he does.
Me literally an hour ago and goes, I love Houston -3. And then I said, why? And he said, Carolina blows. So nice. That's it. I mean, that's all you need to know.
That's right it.
There. Simple approach. See the ball hit the
Bryce
ball.
Young.
Yep. Bryce Young going to look like the road laying 3. Yep. What could go wrong?
It sounds like 95% of the conversation I have with people that gamble that aren't you guys. They're like, gotta take Houston here. Panthers stink.
Beautiful.
It's the best.
Beautiful.
The Panthers +3. Gotta take them now.
You going to go to the game?
Yeah. I'll be right there.
Seriously?
No, I'm not going to the game. The one thing I'll tell you about the Panthers,
kids would like to go to the game.
What?
Maybe your kids would like to go to the game.
No, we're not doing that.
Wow.
Yeah.
Father of the year over here.
No, I'm not taking them to the Texans game. Maybe I'll choose a better team at some point. nonetheless.
Go see the first two picks of the draft. Or like first and third.
No, first and second. Will Anderson went three, right?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, then they traded back
one,
up.
Two, three.
See, two.
Yeah, I'd be excited.
Anthony Richardson went four. I know that too.
There'll be all of 400 fans of that game. More fans of the Stanford game, Washington game, or Panthers Texans.
Good poll question.
Yeah, because Washington fans will go to Palo Alto. Houston Texans fans aren't flying to Charlotte.
Yeah, but I think it's still the NFL.
Have you seen the stadium? Have you seen the Panthers fans? They're not going to be there.
They don't want to see Thomas Brown and his offensive coordinator.
So that's the question, right? It's like, if you're on the Panthers this week.
Oh, I'm on the Panthers this week now.
Do you think we're all going to be? Because thank you, bartender, who's a real person. I actually thought it was just Sammy playing a bit for so many years. They have a new OC. Like, maybe Thomas Brown brings them something that Frank Reich couldn't, and they're off a bye. So there's a chance that we see a new style of offense, some new things out there. Bryce Young hasn't played terrible, but the wide receiving options, you know, aren't great. The offensive line has struggled a little bit at times, but getting a little bit better. So I think if you're wagering on them, you're hoping that they're off a bye with a kind of a brand new offensive identity, make things easier for Bryce Young, do some easier things for him, and you're fading a Texans team that the bartender likes.
Yeah, they've played better recently. I will say we're pretty deep into the show here. The host of the show, the Bear, Chris Felica, has completely sandbagged us because his Jets have a chance to go over 500. They have a chance to beat the Giants to go 4-3. Then they play home versus the Chargers, the Raiders. This Jets team could be 6-3, and we haven't mentioned that. Bear is completely sandbagging us. He sees the schedule. He sees the record. He's getting excited without telling us. What's going on with the Jets here, Bear?
There's zero chance they're going to be 6-3, and there's zero chance I'm laying three with them this week against the Giants.
The Giants are 1.5 games out of the wild card spot in the NFC right now.
If the Giants make the playoffs, you're going to see me lined up, looking to sell off every
they
little
should get back thing I own. I think they get back Andrew Thomas this week and their center, though, which is definitely a big improvement.
They'll need it against the Jets. They'll need it.
So, that does give you a little, if you're a little pumped. But the Giants in that stadium have been historically bad as a favorite, but they're not. I mean, they're covered. So the 3 points, I think, is a good spot to be in for the Giants.
Yeah, I can't play the game. I mean, you get excited about the Jets, and it's a little bittersweet because you think of what could have been.
Yeah.
But they needed the Eagles to completely implode to win that game. Like, you're relying on awful decisions, turnover. Like, I just can't see it continue. Like, but that does bring a question, though. Like, if they somehow win 8 or 9 games, does Bob Saleh get in the coach of the year mix?
Well, if they win them, yes. Like Brian Daboll last year, he normally is reserved for like best coach of the best team. But the last couple of years we've seen, it's gone to sort of like the best coach of the best story of the best improvement.
Right.
And if they get that way, then there's certainly a possibility. Can I interest you in one more game? The Chiefs are 7-point favorites at Denver. They are historically terrible as large favorites until Taylor Swift entered the Chiefs universe. So they're 4-1 against the spread since 4-1 against the spread at games she's been at.
Are you going to take your kids to the Eras? Is the Eras, right?
I would take them to the Eras. The concerts look like a ton of fun. I don't know if I make enough money to go to the concerts, but maybe one day I can afford to do it. The only thing, guys, here, I don't know if you have spouses or anyone else that's really into Taylor Swift, but my wife decided this week that she's going to be into Taylor Swift and Travis Kelce, like super into it. Yeah. But the problem
is all the years of you playing professional football didn't get her interested in the NFL.
But now it is. But the problem, guys, I'm very happy for Travis Kelce. I'm very happy for Taylor Swift. I'm very happy that they're cheering. I love all of it. Except now my wife, Chris, believes that she can start trolling me about Taylor Swift and Travis Kelce being together and start calling the games as, are we going to watch Taylor Swift's boyfriend play football? This is like a trend that was started on TikTok like a month ago. She's finally figured it out, and it's driving me crazy. Like, we have, I can't watch a Chiefs game now without her talking about Taylor Swift, and it's a month late. She's a month late to the party. It just got to stop. It needs to stop, and it's hard to watch Chiefs games now because my family will not stop talking about Taylor Swift and Travis Kelce.
Well,
my son mentioned it before bed the other day. She said, when is the next Taylor Swift boyfriend game? It's getting to the point where it's a lot. It's a lot for me to deal with.
But we are crossing over all of the social media algorithms here. Olivia Rodrigo on one pod, and Taylor Swift on the other. We're gonna have like teenage girls listening to the Bare Beds podcast.
I hope so.
It'd be good.
I'm happy for the relationship, but in my own family, it's gotta stop. We gotta stop trolling me. It needs to stop. So much football game.
So are you taking the Broncos?
Oh, no, I'm not touching this game. No chance. Are you? Are you guys taking the Broncos +7?
It would be Broncos or nothing. I just think, they played, a couple weeks ago and the game was actually pretty close. The Broncos have actually played a little better. Defenses play a little better. Like you mentioned, the Chiefs haven't been good as a big favorite. So, these division games are always close. The Chiefs always beat them, but these games are always pretty competitive. And getting back to Taylor Swift, I'm surprised nobody's put out props on will they get married, when will they break up. Like, I'm not into the Taylor Swift Kelce thing, but if you put a betting line on it in terms of, some sort of marriage props, some sort of when will they break up props, I'll bet on anything. So somebody should put out a line on it.
Is there any doubt, boys, that the NFL would love to have Taylor Swift in Vegas at the Super Bowl? So here's what I did literally yesterday. I did a Michigan and a Chiefs championship parlay. I did. 18-1.
That?
You could bet it right now. 18-1.
Not bad.
Michigan's going to be undefeated in the playoff. Bear? No. Do you hate it or hate it?
No. I was going to embarrass myself because I heard. I didn't look it up, and maybe I'll give you another homework project to look up and research. I had heard that the weekend of the Super Bowl, Taylor Swift. She has a show in Japan, and people were figuring out, could she get from Japan to Vegas in time for the Super Bowl, maybe to potentially either sing the anthem or perform at halftime if the Chiefs are in this light.
They already have a halftime performer.
I know they do, but I don't know.
Wouldn't you just want to watch a game in the box?
I'm going to do it right now. Taylor Swift tour.
Sammy's like, I want to talk, but wagering, and my screen is up right now. Where's the line movements at?
This is all your fault for bringing up your wife and Taylor Swift's boyfriend playing football.
I need her to hear this. It's just my safe space. I need her to hear that the trolling has to stop. It's got to stop.
I hope it doesn't.
It's never going to stop.
Good. It shouldn't stop. Stopping at 269, 270, Sammy, to speak your language. Cleveland. At Seattle, the Sea Bags, currently a 4-point favorite now against PJ Walker, DTR. Is Deshaun Watson ever going to play football again?
I don't think so. He seems like he doesn't. He's never going to play again.
Well, why would you? You guarantee him just $230 million, right? Guaranteed. Take it.
The problem with Seattle, by the way, is that they're just playing some untrustworthy football right
Damn
now.
Damn right they are.
Like, they should have won in Cincinnati. Last weekend was
tried hard to lose.
And that late field goal, thankfully they made it. So they covered, but they didn't play well against Arizona. I'm kind of fearful for their offense against the Browns defense this weekend.
I am too. Sammy, 269, 270. We got a play on that one.
269 money line, Bear. Best player on the field, Myles Garrett.
I got a nice +650 on him for defensive player of the year.
He's incredible right now. That blocked field goal, you have to jump over and not touch anyone, or it's a penalty. Yeah. And he jumped over, didn't touch anyone, and blocked the field goal. And then he had a strip sack later in the game. He's playing good football, man.
I like that play because that Seahawks offensive line is not good.
Not right now, no.
Will, we miss anything else out there? I think we've hit on pretty much. Can I interest you? In the Ron Rivera, will he get fired? Game if they, I like the commodes this week getting 6.5.
You can have them. How about this though? Wouldn't it be typical NFL? Like the Vikings look great on Monday night. They beat the 49ers. They're back. They're going to make the playoffs. The Packers, they stink. They lose to the Broncos. Wouldn't it be typical NFL for the Packers to turn around and just beat the Vikings? Because at the end of the day, none of us really know anything about the NFL.
On my ticket,
isn't that? Yeah, it's just how it goes.
It's beautiful. It's a beautiful sport. When everybody zigs, you zag. Yeah. So let's zig and zag our way to some winners this weekend. Sammy, Will, have a great weekend. So I think all we really pretty much decided in the gambling group chat is that we are going to both a Taylor Swift and an Olivia Rodrigo concert with Arby's in tow.
Oh, I love it. Yeah. I am very happy for Travis Kelce and Taylor Swift. I just need my family to stop caring about it. Just let me watch my Chiefs games in privacy, by myself, without any mention of anything happening otherwise. But I will tell you, man, a lot of fans are being brought to the sport by this. Like,
correct.
It's been a
phenomenon. The NFL loves this.
Man, every second of it. Every second
all,
of
all
it.
All they are about, it's not common for a brand as big as the NFL to have a section of the demographic
they haven't touched.
Yep. And this is like the demographic that they have not touched. And if you're getting in this demo,
it's fantastic. Just like people love Taylor Swift and Travis Kelce talk, they love our Survivor talk. Bear, what are you doing for Survivor this week?
Who'd you go with last week?
I'm gonna pull up right here.
No, you I hit a couple it. Weeks ago.
I hit Houston last, and then I did maybe Seattle.
Yeah, it was. I think Seattle last week. Yeah. All right, I kind of hit on it a little bit in the gambling group chat. Like, I normally would never, ever, ever, ever suggest taking the hellscape that is a Los Angeles Chargers game, but don't you have to this week? Backup quarterback with the Bears, your only game moving forward you potentially would even think about using the Chargers would be against Denver.
Yeah,
but I think, off of that performance in Kansas City in the second half, you don't win this game.
If the Chargers don't win, Brandon says he's being fired. It's that simple, right? Like,
you would think so, but he probably should have been fired after last year or the year before.
Because if I use them. I still have the Ravens, the Chiefs, the Cowboys, the Dolphins available. I hit the Dolphins this week too. I could just probably save them. I should probably just save the Dolphins and take Chargers, right?
Well, let's see. What do the Dolphins have moving forward? I mean, that's always the thing you need to look at. There are good data grids out there, good NFL Survivor season planning. Like Miami, you got a bunch of opportunities to use Miami. They got a game against the Raiders coming up at home. Yeah. They got the Titans at home. They got the Jets at home. You'll probably want to save the Dolphins for like a couple of weeks from now.
Yeah.
I mean, I wouldn't use Baltimore this week.
That game is super scary.
Is an absolutely scary game against an Arizona team, which seems to be coming back down to earth a little bit, but they gave Seattle all they could handle last week. I'm sure people are going to be on the Lions Monday night. Big double, when you're a double digit home favorite on Monday night, what could possibly go wrong? I think the Lions will win, but I don't think that game's going to be easy. If you're looking to roll the dice a little
bit,
if you don't want to use the Chargers, which I think would be my play if I were still alive in Survivor, what about the Colts? Team last week moved the ball up and down the field on the best defense in the league. We've seen Steichen's offense move the ball on a lot of people, even with whether it's been Richardson or whether it's been Minshew, and they're in a toss-up game against the Saints, who are completely untrustworthy.
Yeah,
they got some problems on and off the field. Kamara hasn't been. It's been weird how they've used him. Derek Carr is the epitome of like mediocre. Did you get behind the Chargers, the Colts rather, in a pick 'em game at home against the Saints?
So I think the problem for me there is I think Gardner Minshew is so up and down. You know, like, he looked bad against Jacksonville. He looked good against the Browns. Like, I think the Chargers play is bold because it's the Chargers. The freaking Chargers. like that's enough risk for me, is to take on the Chargers in that situation.
Yeah, I mean, Bears fans will be there because there's no home field at SoFi.
The Bears are not good.
I know the Bears aren't. That's my point. I think the fact that the Bears are awful outweighs the
Brandon Staley.
The Brandon Staley experience on the other side.
Okay, I'm with you there. So I'm going Chargers.
Everyone's going to hate me on Sunday night, I'm sure, if they lose to the Bears. But just actually, here's the great hedge: you play Chargers in Survivor, and you play Brandon Staley, first coach to be fired.
Bingo. Done.
How about that?
Yeah, that's good. Yeah, because if he loses...
Oh, yeah, you just take
Dean Spanos going to fire him, you think?
Just take his office key, like on the way out of the stadium on Sunday night if they lose this.
There's no tarmac firing because he's at home, but correct. It's essentially a tarmac firing.
Yes.
It's like, give me your keys, get out of here. Well, let's go over.
We'll send you your stuff.
Let's go over the bets you've made so far before we get to our best bets here. You have Commanders +6.5 at home hosting the Eagles, Green Bay +1 hosting the Vikings, and you have the Raiders
+9
at the Lions, Bear. What is your best bet of NFL?
I love the 49ers. I love the 49ers. Yeah, there are threes out there against Cincinnati. Like, everyone's jumping off. Lose a bad weather game in Cleveland. You lose a game. Ward could get the ball wrestled away before halftime. Purdy got concussed through a couple picks and a little sloppy on defense. And this team that had won 15 straight regular season games has now lost 2 in a row. The sky is falling. Like, Darnolding is going to come in and be fine. But I think this is more of a play on the 49ers defense, which you read Fred Warner's comments after the game. I think they know they played sloppy. He made the quote, the example he used was like, we need to win these grimy type of games.
Yes, we do.
And this is not a good Cincinnati offensive line. They've allowed a lot of pressure this year. I don't think defensively they're as good in the secondary as they've been in the past. This is a Bengals team that was very fortunate to beat Seattle a couple weeks ago. They were potentially a fourth down conversion away from the Cardinals a couple weeks before that, from Arizona retaking the lead and maybe winning that game. But we hit on in the group chat, if you like the Bengals, the time is now to buy on their futures.
Absolutely.
If they do pull an upset in San Francisco, the prices that you're going to get are gone. I'm not there yet with the Bengals.
I like it.
I love the Niners this week.
I'm with you here. Again, this is a contrarian pick. Everyone's going to be at the Burrow's getting better, feeling healthy. Niners, they lost, and no Brock Purdy. So I'm with you there. My best bet is taking the Dolphins here -8.5 points.
The numbers come down, obviously, with the Hill news.
Tyreek Hill may or may not play. Waddle may or may not play. But this is a wager on the Dolphins of who they are and who the Patriots are. Are the Dolphins playing a physical team? No. They're playing a bad football team. Yes. The Dolphins are blowing out all the bad football teams they play. The games aren't even close. They're running them out of the building. The Patriots, yes, they won against the Bills. That's take it for what it is. It doesn't carry over to this week. They still have the same issues they have. Can't run the football. Mac Jones, whatever that is. And defensively, they're without Judon. We know that. They're without Gonzalez. They're not as good on defense anymore. It's a get-right game for the Dolphins. This is outside for the Patriots in Miami. They struggle there anyways. I know, again, Tyreek Hill might not play. Mostert might not play. But I think the Dolphins just run them out of the building, as they've done every team they played at home this year who is not a physical football team.
You don't think that Mac Jones returning to the site of the 2020 college football playoff championship game stadium where they beat Ohio State, that's not going to
the goodwill. I'm changing it, guys, right now.
Oh, by the way, we got the big story 2 weeks in a row now. Tua faces a former Alabama quarterback.
They put that up on Center
Football. I was going to say, did you know that Tua backed up Jalen and came in for him?
I did not know that.
Didn't know that? Okay.
No. Miami's going to blow them out.
I tend to agree with you.
Yeah. All right. Before we get out of here, guys, I want to give you a reminder. It's not too late to play the free Fox Super 6 game for Week 8. Just download the Fox Sports app right now and make your picks for a chance to win your share of $10,000 in weekly cash prizes.
I got it. I took a little preview of the categories this week. There,
you like them, Barry?
Good luck.
Good luck.
Good luck. Way around. Read my column.
FoxSports.com.
Yes.
Yeah. All Bears stuff. Fox Sports. My stuff, FoxSports.com. Your stuff, FoxSports.com. A little cross promotion.
How was your? I haven't read your roundtable stuff yet. Is the roundtable up?
It is up. It was up on Monday, I believe. Yeah. It's fun. Monday, we just look at the lines for the NFL and kind of guess where they might go throughout the week.
Yeah. I like stuff like that because it gives you,
it's not what I do best. It's like Sammy nailed it. He said Jacksonville. I referenced the group chat. He said Jacksonville, bet it. I think it was 1 or 1.5. Bet it now. It's going up to 3. Boom. Sammy nailed it.
It's a lot of times it's often like your first instinct is the best instinct.
Yeah.
So I like stuff like that.
There we go.
Wow, we had a lot of instincts this week. That was we hit on a lot.
Some ugly sides. I like it.
Ugly sides.
Good place to be.
Ugly sides, good music, pop culture.
Yeah, there we go.
Good ribbing. Hopefully we get some more winners. So thanks again, everybody, for listening, downloading, rating, reviewing, subscribing. I hear our numbers are good, which I'm very happy about. Hopefully we can have another good week of picking sides here in the National Football League. I think every time you say National Football League, you have to say the National Football with the pause, right?
I love it.
Yeah, it's contractual.
Yes, absolutely.
For Sammy P and Will, for Jeff, I'm Bear. Less you bet, more you lose when you win.